Track 18. Our second Norfolk character was a skater, poacher and true character. Chafer Legg was a legendary Norfolk storyteller. But did he really meet Mark Twain?
William Chafer Legg was born in Southerry in 1837. He was one of 10 children, but only 9 lived to adulthood. He never learned to read or write, and was an agricultural worker who had to work in all weathers and was very poorly paid. Like most fenmen who drank like fishes and slept like hogs, he learned to supplement his income by fishing for eels and wildfowling, mostly illegally. Ducks, geese, pheasants, partridges and larks, as well as the eels, were sent by train from Littleport to London as delicacies for clients dining in the big hotels. If he had been caught poaching, he never was, much too crafty, it would have meant prison or even transportation to Australia. He married Susan Porter in the brand new church in Southerry St. Mary's and moved to a small wooden shack in the Fens, where they proceeded to have a large family like their parents before them. It was a hard life for everyone, especially in the winter months. It often meant no work on the land, no money coming in, no food, and the children often going hungry. He must have been quite a strange-looking character to modern eyes, with his moleskin trousers and waistcoat, topped off with an otter-skin cap, which may be why he acquired the nickname Chafer, which is a beetle or leather jacket grub. When he was a young man, he was also a bare-knuckle fighter, and like most fen men, a good ice skater in the cold, hard winter months. His was a hard physical life, and with a large family. His escape from reality was the pub. What his wife thought of his many nights in the local inn is not recorded, but she might have been quite glad to be rid of him for a few hours. Chafer's local was the Ship, where the Little Ouse River joins the Great Ouse River at Brandon Creek. It's still there now. Although closed for renovation, it should reopen very shortly. His nights spent there probably didn't cost him very much, as he had a reputation of being a great and prolific storyteller. The tales of ghosts and the supernatural would be readily embellished for professors, lecturers and students up from Cambridge to shoot fish and study the wildlife. They were only too willing to stand Chafer a drink in the candlelit bar on a dark fen night to enliven their visit. One of the most popular stories tells of a black ghost dog called the Black Shuck. There are many different variations depending on the storyteller. The version Chafer was fond of relates to a huge black dog which rescues a young girl from a lustful friar intent on rape. Friars had a reputation for blessing and bullying as they made their way to Walsingham, and were best avoided. This particular priest killed the dog as it attacked him, but the girl got away and the animal has haunted the area ever since. The animal prowls with his fiery eye the dark lanes and lonely footpaths with a howl to freeze the blood, while his paws make no sound. Another story started one Halloween during the time of Cromwell, when in the middle of a thunderstorm a large rock crashed to earth along with a bolt of lightning. It hit next to the old mill and left a huge hole in which a fire burned for days. Over time the hole filled in with water and came to be called the Weigh-in Pond, as locals thought it was an entrance to hell. Many superstitions grew around the pond, not helped by the fact that the village parson, who had been acting a bit weird, disappeared not long after. Eventually, the hole was drained, and a strange blue stone was found, along with the skeleton of a man bound in chains. Was it the parson? Nobody knew. the boulder earned a reputation as a magic stone. Women in pain were told to visit the stone at midnight, strip off, and sit on it naked, and their aches would disappear. The gateway to hell has long disappeared, but the weigh-in, or wearing, pond site can still be found where the village sign is erected. It testifies to the belief that all good stories, as Chafer well knew, have to have some elements of truth to be believed. A particular tale from Chafer that I enjoyed, which didn't have a ghostly theme, was how he came to teach the young ladies of Newnham College to ice skate. The invitation came through Mrs. Henry Sedgwick, the principal of Newnham College. She knew Chafer because she and her husband had a houseboat tied up at the back of the Ship Inn. The weather in 1895 was especially cold, and everything was frozen up for weeks. Skating races were popular, with welcome prizes of money or food or clothes. The Legg family were all good skaters, and on one occasion Susan won the ladies' race without her knickers on. Why this should be a prerequisite for entry to the race was never explained, but perhaps it was thought that you had to move fast to keep warm. As a consequence of his ice prowess, Chafer was asked by Mrs. Sedgwick to teach any girls at Newnham College who wanted to learn how to skate. Generous expenses and fees were arranged. The girls were to be closely supervised by two women vice-principals, as only parsons and curates were allowed into Newnham to talk to the girls. One of the chaperones asked Chafer if he was married, to which he replied that he was, but said he wouldn't mind trying bigamy for a price. Once most of the girls could more or less remain upright, Chafer arranged a skating trip to Bottisham Lock. That afternoon he found 35 girls had turned up without chaperones and were entertained by 25 clergy, 5 archdeacons and 2 bishops. The boys from other colleges has found that they could hire a parson's rig out for 5 bob each from a little shop in the Petty Curie. The ecclesiastical party arranged to have tea brought from Cambridge, and many toasts were drunk, though not in tea, and a great afternoon was had by all. I'm told by my granddaughter, who's studying there at the moment, that the Newnham spirit lives on, but the parson's outfits have been superseded by high-vis jackets, with male students pretending to be maintenance men. We know about Chafer because W.H. Barrett, Jack Barrett, wrote down his stories and retold them to Enid Porter. They were printed in Tales of the Fens. How much of any exaggeration was due to Chafer and how much to Jack is open to doubt. But the biggest tale was recounted about Mark Twain, the American novelist. Twain visited England on many occasions, and we're told that when he came to Cambridge, he visited the Ship at Brandon Creek and met Chafer. They had a mutual love of ghostly stories and the supernatural, and carried on long into the night, swapping tales. There's no record of the meeting, and it may be just another tall tale, but it might be true. All the best whoppers have an element of truth in them somewhere. Chafer and Jack never let the truth get in the way of a good story. Chafer let it be known that after his death he wanted to be buried on his own land over the road from the pub near to Sedge Fen. He was buried quietly and secretly, and on the day of his funeral service at the church the coffin contained only lumps of heavy fen clay. True or not, his burial was shrouded in mystery. Typical Chafer. True or false, nobody knows. Just as he would have wanted. Perhaps just another tall tale.